shortly before being betrayed, Jesus prayed about a cup. He sent up a prayer to the Father and said, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me." Three times, Jesus prayed about this cup. The Father, as I think we're all familiar with, said no to this prayer. But as we look at that no, have you ever noticed that there was a footnote to it? It wasn't no, and that's the end of the story. If you just follow along with the scripture reading from Luke chapter 22, you've already perhaps seen today's text. Michael read down as far as I asked him to read. But that very next verse is the place where we want to spend our time today. Luke chapter 22, verse 43. And the text continues. And there appeared unto him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. Three times the Son of God prayed to the Father and said, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me." And the answer was no, no, no. But after that third prayer, or in conjunction with the third prayer, God said, "I'm going to provide an alternative. Something is going to come besides the no. You can, and you will receive the strength to face the cup." And this angel was sent to make that possible. When it comes to the difficulties in life, our first thought, our first prayer might be, "God, take away the difficulty. God, erase, God, eliminate this hardship." When you look at Luke 22, though, a better prayer, a more Christ-like prayer might be, "God, please take away this hardship. But if that's not possible, give me the strength. Give me the ability to endure what I'm going to face." When we begin to think about Jesus, Luke 22, verse 43, how things unfolded for him, we begin to find something that is reflected in many parts of the Bible. Today we want to look at the idea of being strengthened during difficult times. Our study of this matter begins with the Old Testament. We'll go back to the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 3. As you're turning back to Deuteronomy 3, let me provide a little bit of the context that leads up to the point that we want to make. In this third chapter of Deuteronomy, we have some information about Moses, as well as Moses' successor. That, of course, was going to be Joshua. Moses had been told by God that he was not going to enter into the promised land, and this disappointed him. Moses knew that Joshua was going to take over a large part of his work, and Joshua needed some information. Thus, in Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 21, Joshua was made known, or Joshua had some information given to him, reminded about some of the military victories experienced by Israel. In Deuteronomy 3, verse 22, Joshua was told, "Don't fear the enemies of Israel." And then this unusual statement, Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 24, Moses said, "I have only started. I have only begun to realize God's greatness." Now, to me, that is a very unusual statement, but that's how Moses saw things. He said, "I'm still kind of coming to a grasp of how wonderful, how great God is." Deuteronomy 3, verse 25, Moses pleaded with God to enter into the promised land, but we, of course, know that the answer to that prayer, that pleading, was no. Deuteronomy 3, verse 26. Now, we've already seen Luke chapter 22, verse 43, that Jesus, he's in the garden, he prays three times for the cup to pass. No, no, no. But God says, "I will give you strength." Moses, similar set of circumstances as far as making a request, he also gets a no. But just as with Jesus, that footnote, so we find a footnote here. If you're back in Deuteronomy 3, let's see what we find in verse 28. But, just as we have "and" in Luke 22, now it's a "but." "But charge Joshua, and encourage him, and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see." God said to Moses, "It's not going to work. I know what you want to do, but that's not going to be possible. However, there is going to be an alternative. There is going to be something that can be done." God said, "I will grant this." One could study the Bible, and this would be an incredibly profitable study, to look for times, to look for prayers where God said, "No, that's not going to happen. However, I will allow, I will grant this." Not that, but this. As fascinating as that might be, and as helpful as that might be, that's not the focus on today's lesson. This morning we want to think about the idea of being strengthened. Jesus was strengthened. Joshua needed to be strengthened. Jesus had that need for strength, and other great people have also had that need. They need to be strengthened throughout time. Now, one might think initially that it's only the weak. One might initially believe that it's only the frail who need to be strengthened. Others might say, well, are there times where some of God's greatest, some of God's best and finest servants ever need to be strengthened? Yes. When we start looking at the scriptures, Old Testament and New, we find there are times when God's best people, the best of the best, needed to be built up and strengthened. Knowing that fact allows us to ask this question. If great Bible characters have at times needed to be strengthened, what about Christians in our day and time? Not long ago, someone who was going through a difficult time let me know about some of the issues they were having, and I encouraged that Christian to read through the book of Job. If you were to read through the book of Job, you'd find something that maybe you've not, at least from this perspective, noticed before. If you want to take a look at what I'm wanting to point out, you might flip over to that book, also in the Old Testament, and find Job 4. Job, as we think about his ordeal, it was very difficult. And as Job went through many trials, he needed to be strengthened. We find some people who showed up to help him. Maybe their intention was to strengthen him. And as you look at Job, the subject of strength is discussed, and it's discussed from a couple of different perspectives. In Job 4, we read about one of Job's so-called friends, a man by the name of Eliphaz. And Eliphaz in Job 4 says, essentially, I want to talk. I have some things to say. I don't want to keep my mouth shut. He felt like he had something really important to say. Now, this fella, Eliphaz, had significant knowledge of Job's life. And in Job 4, he wants to give a partial assessment of how Job lived. If you found that fourth chapter, let's look towards the top of the chapter and see what we find in Job 4, verse 3. Behold, now this is Eliphaz describing Job. Behold, thou, Job, has instructed many, and thou hast strengthened the weak hands. Before Job fell on hard times, Eliphaz looks at this man and says, you did in the past some very fine things, Job. Some very fine things, Job. He said, there were many people that you instructed. There were many people that you advised and gave helpful information to. And Eliphaz also said, Job, there were people that you offered strength to. He said, Job, you strengthened the weak. That may have been one of the great things that God saw in the life of Job. He was someone who was willing not just willing to strengthen people, but he was willing to strengthen the weak. Now, if you were to skip over a few chapters in Job 16, verse 5, you would find what I would refer to as a complimentary passage. In 12 chapters later, Job essentially says to his friends, let's say for the sake of argument, that our roles were reversed. In Job 16, verse 5, Job said, if things were turned around, here's what I would do. If you were suffering and I was the one who came to see you, Job said, I would strengthen you. Job 16, verse 5, I would be the one who would be here trying to lessen your grief. I would be the one who would sit with you and try to aid you in these difficult times. If I were in your shoes, I would be the one who would be offering comfort instead of attacking you. Sometimes God says no. But with that no, there is the strength to continue on. In some cases, we may be the one who needs that strength. And maybe that's a one-shot dose of strength. Or maybe as we struggle to get through something, maybe we need that regular dose of strength. And there are other cases, and we see this in the book of Job, that strength is something we have. Someone needs it, and it's our job to give it. In Job 4, staying with that chapter, but now moving down a verse, Job 4, verse 3, Eliphaz said that Job offered strength to weak hands. That fourth verse says, Thy words have upholden him that was falling. And thou hast made firm the feeble knees. Eliphaz said, Job, there was a time where you did good. You did well. There were some people who needed to be strengthened. They needed to be fortified. They needed to be encouraged. They needed to be uplifted. And Job, you did that. Good for you. What about us? As we go through life, do we not find people who are weak? People who are failing? People who are fumbling? People who are stumbling, people who need to be strengthened, like Job. Do we try to help those people who are hurting with their words? Do we speak some of those words in person? Maybe a phone call, maybe a card, maybe a text, maybe an email. In the church, and I'm not sure that you know this unless you live down south or maybe you've been involved with preaching, but down south, There are two members of the church. They run something called the Jenkins Institute. And if you're not familiar with that, I'll give you just a quick overview. The father of these two men was a well-known minister. And their dad trained them well. This family has a great deal of preaching experience. They have enough information in the family, so to speak, to really know the ups and the downs of preaching. If you were to follow some of the information that comes out from this institute, you would know that they try to use the web, the internet, and various tools to strengthen fellow Christians, several of whom are preachers. The information comes out, at least to me, on an irregular basis. I mean, there's no exact day that you always get information, but it is fairly regular as far as usual that there's something every week to maybe 10 days. And as I was thinking about these men and what they try to do, I went back into my deleted email folder and thought, I'm going to see if I can pull out an example of how they've tried to encourage fellow Christians. And here is the example that I found and am seeking to share. Quote, "There are those days," now this is being written from the standpoint of a preacher, "there are those days when personally we feel that not only did we fail to hit it out of the park, we're not sure we made it out of the batter's box. There are days when well-meaning church folk will tell us what we did wrong, but not what we did that was helpful. There are days when we wonder if anybody noticed the study and the preparation that went into our preaching. May I," and then the next words say, "may I encourage you to know that you did well, even when nobody recognizes it." Now, as I said, these men focus on the work largely of preachers, but their work can be associated with virtually any application, certainly non-religious settings. Strengthening people, that's something that can be done in any setting. It can be done in any occupation. As you're out there, as you're working with people, whether you're the boss or whether you are the employee, strengthening people can be associated with the home. It can be for the stay-at-home mom, the stay-at-home dad. It can be for the young person who is in school. It might be in a sporting activity, an after-school event, maybe an after-school event that's not a sporting activity. It can even be done in the political realm. Our world is literally filled with people, many of whom are in the church, who could benefit greatly by some strengthening. As we look at Job, one of the things that is specifically recognized about this man's life is that he was willing, he was interested in trying to strengthen those who were weak. He used his words, Job 4, verses 3 and 4, to those who were falling. Eliphaz said, "You firmed up the feeble knees." The people who were weak, the people who were falling, the people who were in danger of stumbling. Job, remember how you used to aid them, strengthen them, and help them. But then, after Eliphaz has given those lofty compliments, he turns things around, Job 4, verse 5. In that fifth verse, he said, "Well, Job, here's how things are now." He said, "Now you've lost heart. Problems have come your way. As long as life was going well for you, you were willing to strengthen people. But after your fortune was reversed, now not so much." At times, the strongest people we know need to be strengthened. Even Jesus had a need to be strengthened. Luke 22, verse 43. We can strengthen others regardless of who they are. They may be, as far as appear, who is essentially equal to us. Maybe in some respect we are above them, maybe because of a work situation. Maybe in some respect they are above us because of a work or a school situation. But we can strengthen people. And as a Christian, that should be one of the things that we seek to do on a regular basis. Some of the strength we offer to others may come through words, Job 4. But in Luke 22, we're going to go back there now. In Luke 22, we find that it is possible to strengthen people from another perspective. Now, we looked a little later in the chapter at Luke 22, but now let's back up and see something that's found earlier in the chapter. We know that Jesus was strengthened, but prior to our time, in Luke chapter 22, verse 43, we find that Jesus took an occasion to strengthen someone. And the person that the Lord wanted to strengthen was an apostle, a well-known apostle. It was the apostle who later denied him three times. Peter, as you look at Luke chapter 22, verse 33, he says to Jesus, "I'm willing to go to prison for you. Lord, I love you so much, I'm willing to be locked up." Now that's an amazing statement. Do we believe that we love Jesus literally to the point that we are willing to be in prison for him? That's what Peter said. Peter said, "Not only am I willing to be locked up for you, Jesus," he said, "I'm also willing," same verse, "to die for you." If that's the price, if that's the cost for me, I'm willing to surrender my life because I love you that much. Well, before we get down to Luke 22, verse 33, we have this in verse 32. Simon, Simon, Jesus said, 31, Satan wants to have you. He wants to sift you. And then Jesus, notice the strengthening, that 32nd verse. But, there's that word again, the contrast. But I have made supplication for thee that thy faith fail not. And do thou, when thou hast turned again, establish or strengthen thy brethren. Jesus said, you need to be strengthened, Peter. The devil wants to sift you. The devil wants to test you. The devil wants to wear you out and destroy you. But I want you to be strengthened. I want you to stand and be strong. If we want to help strengthen someone, and this may not work for a person if he or she or they are not Christians, but if you want to help strengthen someone, pray for them. Pray for them. And after you've prayed for a person, after you've prayed that a person might be strengthened, don't stop with that prayer. Let me encourage you to go back to that person and say, I've been praying for you. I've been praying for your family. I've been praying about your job. I've been praying about your wayward child. I've been praying about your health condition or whatever it might be. And then remind them at additional times that we continue to pray for them. We can use those prayers and those encouraging words to strengthen others. If we're willing to do that, if we're willing to use those prayers and encouraging words, a strange thing may happen. Jesus pointed out what this unusual item is at the end of verse 32. The Lord said, essentially, Peter, you're going to be strengthened. And not only are you going to be strengthened, you're going to be strengthened to the point where you can establish, you can strengthen your brethren. So here Jesus says you're going to be tested. The devil wants to get a hold of you and run you through the ringer. But Peter, you're going to bounce back. It's going to be okay. I've prayed for you. And when you get to the point where you are established, where you've been firmed up, then Peter, you have a responsibility. Because you've received help. You need to take that strength and you need to share that with others. This apostle did not get to avoid some hard times. Jesus, in the garden, also did not get to avoid some hard times. He had to drink the cup. Peter had to be run through the ringer by Satan. But you know, that strengthening of the Lord in Luke chapter 22, it worked. Jesus, as difficult as it was, he was able to go to the cross to see that process through, everything that was required. Peter was also able to get through the difficult times foreknown and foretold by the Lord. Being strengthened is a gift. We may not think about it too often in those terms, but it is a gift. Not only is it a gift, it is a great gift. If someone has recently strengthened us, or if at some point in the future someone strengthens us in some way, be grateful. But with that gratitude, also be willing to share that strength. Use that to then in turn strengthen others. Refusing to do that is an example of great selfishness. Days look brighter. They look a lot brighter after someone has encouraged us and strengthened us. But based on Luke 22, verse 32, they become even brighter as we seek to strengthen others. Now, we don't strengthen people by giving them false information or lying to them, telling them what's going to be great when that's not true. But strength comes from the truth, from telling people encouraging words and encouraging them with our prayers. God wants us to strengthen people. He's given us the source to be strengthened, His word, His promises. He's given us the ability to be strengthened by others, and He's given us the ability to strengthen people by our lives. Is that how we're living? How long has it been since we've reached out and tried to strengthen someone? A day? A week? A month? A year? Several years? It should be a regular part of our Christian life. That's one of the ways that we're like salt and light. Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. If you've not become a Christian, then there is a source of strength through God and the gospel that's available to you. And that strength can be accessed through some easy steps. If you believe in Christ that Jesus truly is the Son of God, He came to this world to die for your sins. There's comfort in that. And then to say, I'm no longer going to live according to the world, that builds up a little more strength. To confess His name before men, to know that He's going to be the Lord of your life, you're not going to try to walk in your own steps. And then to be baptized into Him, to rise from the water of baptism to be a new creature in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. There's strength in that. And then to know that as you continue to walk in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from every single sin. There's strength in that. To be strengthened by fellow brothers and sisters in assemblies such as this, to know that God has made several promises. They're all true. To be strengthened by all those things. Great strength for every day as we live the Christian life. Great sources of strength to share with others. Have we been strengthened? And are we seeking to convey that strength to others? Those are the questions that we must ask and answer now as we stand and sing the selected song.